Jesus Christ is our living hope. In Him, folks, no matter what, we always have hope. Both in life and in death. No matter where you are or what you're going through or what you're dealing with, I want to share with you the encouraging words today that Jesus can give you hope. Whatever your present holds or whatever your future may bring, you can put your hope in Jesus Christ. Last week I shared a message that I entitled "A Matter of Death and Life." My primary scripture was the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it 1,000 times, that the truth is, as believers in Jesus Christ, whether we live or whether we die, we win. Our faith, our hope is in Christ. You can't lose. Whether you continue to live or whether God calls you home, you can't lose. And as believers, we have so much, I don't think we can even fathom how much we have to look forward to. We have so much to expect and to live in anticipation of. And I want to encourage each and every one of you today with the truth and the promises of God's Word that the reality of all that lies ahead of us, for those who have put their faith and their hope in Christ and who live in Christ, the reality is this, that for the believer, the best, somebody say the best. Say it again, the best. The best is yet to come. And if I can really mess up my English grammar, you ain't seen nothing yet. Your hope, your joy, my friend, needs to be grounded in your hope of heaven. I want you to get a hold of that. Your hope, your joy, as a Christian, needs to be grounded in your hope of heaven. This is what we often refer to as the blessed hope. In the Assemblies of God, we have what we call our 16 fundamental beliefs, or 16 statements of faith. And one of those 16, which is entitled the Blessed Hope, reads like this: the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in Christ and their translation together with those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord is the imminent, that means it could happen any time, is the imminent and blessed hope of the church. Now, I don't know whoever it was who said that doctrine is boring. That person should be run out of town. Doctrine is anything but boring because doctrine is truth and truth is exciting. To know all that Christ has done and is doing and what He's going to do in our lives, what we believe, what we hold on to, what we trust, what we hope, what is going to happen to us is anything but boring. It's tremendously exciting. What does the Bible say? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, excuse me, 15, beginning with verse 16. I'll spit it out somehow. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with 16. Paul says, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed, somebody say indeed, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And then in the same chapter, he goes on in verses 51 and 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. How many are looking forward to things in this life, in this world, in your body? How many are looking forward to things being changed? We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. Man, I'm getting excited. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That's something to look forward to. That's something to put your hope and your faith in. And then I think also of the other words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Romans chapter 8. He said, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning." How many of you ever groan? I don't know about you, but every morning when I get up, I have a few groans. It means I'm getting older, right? We all know what groaning is in this life. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You see, friends, the promise, what lies ahead, what we wait for, what we look forward to in the future, what eternity holds for us, that is our hope, our blessed hope in Jesus Christ. Now here's something what we've got to realize. That we really need to get a hold of this fact. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. That's why Paul says we groan inwardly as we eagerly. I don't know about you, but I eagerly look forward to heaven and what God has in store for me. We eagerly await the redemption of our bodies. The truth is this, my friends. There is pain in the present. I can't say it many more clearly or succinctly than that. There is pain in the present. It's part of life. You can't escape it. Even Jesus Himself said, in this world, everything will go well every day for you. Is that what He said? No, He said, in this world, you will have trouble. You see, perfection is reserved for the future. Perfection is reserved for the future. I like what Dr. Larry Crabb said in his book, Inside Out, and I quote, he said, "There is joy. There is hope. There is love. There is more in relationship with Christ than we've ever imagined. So press on. He's coming soon." Press on. He's coming soon. End quote. We look forward to our ultimate healing in heaven. Our ultimate healing in heaven. But, there is also the promise of hope and healing for us in the present, for today. Yes, life is not without pain. We know that. To expect pain-free living and perfection in the present is to be disappointed. I want to say that again. To expect pain-free living and perfection in the present is to be disappointed. Some Christians come from the wrong direction. They think and they expect that when you become a Christian and you give your life to Jesus Christ, that it's going to be pain-free, perfect living. How many know that that's not the case? People who approach it from that angle are seriously disappointed. Because we know, again, that in this world, we will have trouble. Life involves its share of suffering. Faith in Jesus Christ, however, is not just pie in the sky when you die. Living for Jesus now gives us hope and strength for today. It's not just then, but it's also a reality here and now. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to face and to overcome whatever life may bring. Dr. Larry Crabb continues, and I quote again. He said, "When we feel our pain and we face our sin, we learn to more richly value the gospel of Christ." When we feel our pain, when we face our sin, that's how we learn to more richly value the gospel of Christ, he says, which provides hope and forgiveness. And in the process, we find the strength to carry on, until we sit down at the banquet table to enjoy the richest of fare. End quote. I want to say it again, church. We have so much to look forward to, and we're not there yet. We certainly do our share of groaning as we wait for our complete redemption, our perfection in heaven. But Christ gives us real hope for today and strength to keep going until we reach the other side. There is strength for today. There is hope in Christ for today, for now, until we reach the other side. Christ is here, and He is our living hope for today. So I want to turn your attention to a short but powerful story that we find in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter 8, the first three verses. It used to be that you wait until you're finished hearing the rustling of the leaves of people's Bibles and you know they've gotten to the passage. But now people are looking them up, the passage on their smartphone, and you don't hear anything. So Matthew chapter 8 says, "When he, Jesus, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus reached out his hand." Jesus reached out his hand And he touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. This story, short, but it's incredibly powerful. It tells us about a man in pain, in horrible suffering, in a terrible place and position in life. But he had something special. He had faith in Jesus. He had hope in Christ that led to his healing that day, and it changed his life. My friend, do you have hope that can lead to your healing and change your life? The title of my message today is Hope That Heals. Hope That Heals. Lord Jesus, we all feel the pain of the realities of life very acutely. Some days more than others. And I don't know, Lord, right at this moment, what each and every person in this congregation, within the sound of my voice, is going through, is dealing with right now. But I know that I know that I know that there are people who need healing. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, whatever the need may be, and I know that I know that I know that you are the healer. And we must put our faith and our hope in you. You are our hope. And when we put our hope in you, you say, I am willing. And you bring your healing. Lord, through your word in these next few moments, I pray that you will reach out and you will touch someone and you will bring them fresh hope and renewed faith and a strength that they didn't have when they came in, and bring them the healing that they need. In Jesus' name. And Lord, one more time, I ask for, and I must have, Lord, the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be upon me. Because I can't preach a word without it. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do we learn from this story about a leper that can give you hope that heals? First of all, I see a man who had no hope. A man who had no hope until he met Jesus. The man, the Bible tells us, was a leper. In Israel at that time, the fact is, if you had leprosy, it just didn't get any worse than that. Having leprosy was as bad as life could possibly get. During biblical times, leprosy was a dreaded and a horrible affliction. It was a loathsome disease with no known cure, and it was greatly feared by the Israelites. Leprosy was uncontrollable. It was slowly growing. It was usually contagious. It was a skin disease that caused lumps and scabs to form all over the body. In fact, as the disease progressed, parts of the body would become deformed and they could literally rot away. Fingers and toes could eventually fall off. A person with leprosy was subject to very strict isolation laws They lived under quarantine. They were considered by everyone to be unclean. They were complete outcasts. They were forced to separate themselves from the public, from everyone else. The lepers lived outside of town. They couldn't come through the gates. They couldn't come inside the walls of the city. They couldn't intermingle with other people. They couldn't buy or sell. They couldn't do any of the normal things that everybody else did. They were complete outcasts, living outside of town, often living alone in a cave or a tent, or sometimes in a leper colony. In fact, touching a leper, or even touching any of their possessions, would bring that person instant uncleanness. And even breathing the same air was believed to be dangerous. In fact, a leper was looked upon as dead, and they were to be treated as a dead person. They had to keep a certain distance away from others. They had to wear bells on their clothes to warn people of their presence. They had to wear a cloth over their mouth. And when anybody came too close, they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" What a life! Well, it wasn't even life at all. And the only hope and the only rest for a leper was death. What an incredible, horrible, helpless and hopeless situation. And there was absolutely nothing that this man, this leper, could do about his health or his condition. And I wonder, what kind of a condition, what kind of a situation might you be dealing with today? What are you worried about? What causes you concern? What's troubling in your soul today? I wonder, what keeps you awake at night? What are those thoughts that you just can't seem to get out of your head? Just like this leper, sometimes in our situation, we can feel just as helpless and hopeless as he. But you know, this leper himself was a pretty incredible guy. In spite of everything that was against him, he did not let all of those things stop him. And I wonder about you, all the things that are facing you, that you're dealing with, are you going to let them overcome you? Are you going to let those things stop you in your tracks? Are you going to be like this leper? He came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. And he knelt before him. That was a pretty difficult thing for him to do. You see, the fact is, this man didn't belong there. He shouldn't have been anywhere near Jesus or anybody else. He was unclean. He was an outcast. He was to stay far away from everyone. And I can just imagine as he came toward Jesus and the crowd recognized that he was an unclean leper, everybody was quickly saying, "Get away, here comes a leper." And the crowd must have scattered and given him plenty of room. But this guy didn't care what the crowd did that day. My friend, you will never get anywhere if you care what other people think and what other people do. It's not about everybody else. It's about you and Jesus. I read the story and I can't help but wonder, I wonder what would have happened to this leper if he would have stayed home that day. If he would have said, I'm just a helpless, hopeless, wretched leper. Nobody wants to be anywhere near me. There's nothing that can be done for me. I'm a dead man. And all I have to look forward to is dying. What more can I do? What would have happened if he had stayed away that day? It's amazing to me. In the midst of their struggles and their trials and their troubles and their pain and their concern, it's amazing to me how many people stay home. You'll look around and you can think of the people who aren't here today. Some of whom stayed home because they're just wallowing in their pain and their suffering and their circumstances and their situation. And they're saying, when things get better, I'll come back to church. How many people in difficult situations and circumstances, instead of going to Jesus, it causes them to go away from God? Not so this leper. He said, I'm so helpless, I'm so hopeless, I'm hurting so bad, I need to get to Jesus as quickly as I can. I'm not staying home. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the laws of uncleanness are. I don't care what the crowd does or thinks about me. I heard this Jesus can heal me and He's in town today and I'm going to get to where He is as quick as I can. What would happen, my friends, in people's lives of instead of staying home and staying away, they would come to where Jesus is. They would come to where the believers are. They would come to where the faith is, where the prayer is, where the worship is, where the preaching is, where the encouraging is, where the faith is. They would come to Jesus. When you need help, when you need hope, when you need healing, you find out where Jesus is and you get to Him as quickly as you can. He came to Jesus, He knelt before Him, and He spoke directly to Jesus. He wasn't supposed to do that either. And He called Him Lord. Lord. That indicated that He had faith in Christ. Because most everybody else in the gospel referred to Jesus as teacher or rabbi. Few called Him Lord. But He had faith. He had faith in this one Jesus. And He said to Jesus, if you are willing. Wow. If you are willing, you can make me clean. What was happening to this leper? I'll tell you what was happening to him. Hope. Hope. Hope was beginning to well up, to rise up within his soul. Lord. Lord. I have faith. I know you can do for me what nobody else can do if you are willing. If you are willing, Lord, you can make me clean. This is it. Could it be? Maybe today will be the day that my healing comes, that my life changes. This might be it. His only question was he willing? Was he willing? You might say, what a question is that? I'll tell you what a question is. It's the same question you and I ask of Jesus all the time. God, do you really care about me? Are you really listening? Do you really hear me? Do you really see where I am? Do you know what I'm dealing with? Do you understand what I'm going through? Are you concerned about me? Are you willing? We all ask the question. Does He care about me? Will He help me? Will He heal me? Will He change my life? Will He change me? Listen, my friend. Jesus was not only willing, but He did the unthinkable. He was willing, and He did the unthinkable. Jesus stopped. When a leper came near you, you didn't stop. You turned and you walked the other way. But not Jesus. Jesus will never turn and walk away from you. When you come to Christ and you come in faith, and you let hope well up in your soul, and you do whatever it takes to reach Jesus. Everybody else can stay home, but you're coming out in spite of your difficulty, in spite of your pain, and you come to Jesus. He will always stop. He will always stop for you. He spoke to the man. And then He reached out His hand. Are you getting this, church? A leper, unclean, who would make anybody else unclean as well. Jesus didn't care about anything but this man. He reached out His hand, and the Bible says He touched him. He touched him. A leper! I want to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are or how much you hurt or where you've been or what you've done or how awful your past is. It doesn't matter. Jesus will reach out and He will touch you. There is nobody who is untouchable to Jesus. The unclean, a dead man. Without Jesus, I am unclean. Without Jesus, I am a dead man. But Jesus reached out His hand and He touched me. There's an old song that says, He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. He touched me. He touched me. Here's what I know, my friend. Here's what I know. You have every reason for hope in your life because Jesus is always willing. He is always willing. He's willing for you. He's willing to stop for you. He's willing to listen to you. He's willing to speak to you. He's willing to reach out to you. He's willing to touch you. He's willing to do for you what nobody else will do. The whole world can write you off, but Jesus is always willing. And what did He do? Jesus risked His own self, His own situation, His own condition, even His own reputation to touch this man. And He gave him something very special and very powerful at that moment, that even before the man was healed, He gave him hope. Sometimes we don't even necessarily need the answer. What we need is hope. What we need is hope. What we need is hope. that with Jesus, everything's going to be okay. I wish I could look in each one of your eyes right now. Say, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. There's hope in Jesus. Hang in there. Hold on. There's hope. There's hope in Christ for you. In verse 3, he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. In verse 3, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, he said. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. There's hope. Even in your difficult situation, there's hope. Be clean. Immediately he was cured. He was healed of his leprosy. The Greek there literally reads that he was made clean. He was made clean. You see, the truth is, Jesus not only healed his body, he not only touched his outside, he not only changed his physical condition, but even more importantly, he healed the man on the inside. He healed him on the inside as well. He changes us, my friends, from the inside out. From the inside out. He cleanses us. He makes us clean on the inside. And I'm going to tell you, the most powerful kind of healing is healing on the inside. The greatest source of all hope is to have a changed life. A new life. To be a new person. To be at peace with God, at peace with others, at peace with yourself, to be healed on the inside. It really doesn't even matter what happens on the outside, as long as on the inside you are made clean and you are healed and full of hope, and you know that you are at peace with God and you have everything to look forward to. That you're on your way. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm on my way. You're on your way to complete healing, to perfection. You're on your way to a place called heaven. Now, I don't know whether you consider it good news or bad, but this sermon isn't over yet. I got more, but I'm out of time. So you have two choices. You can either stay for another 45 minutes, or I can wrap it up now and you can come back next Sunday. Let's take the latter. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about how hope encourages us for now, for today, and how hope encourages us to do four things. Only I'm not going to tell you what they are right now. You've got to come back next Sunday to hear about the four things that hope encourages us to do. But as we close this sermon and draw this moment to a close, think about this. This leper was a man with no hope until he was a man with no hope until he met Jesus. I have a feeling he was awfully glad he didn't stay home that day. He was glad he didn't stay away. He was glad he didn't care about the crowds. But he came to Jesus and he knelt before him. He put his faith in him. And he let hope rise up within him that led to his healing. Came to Jesus that day, helpless and hopeless and outcast, literally a dead man. That's how he came to Jesus. But he left that day, not only healed, but clean. Set free. A man who was full of hope. The leper came to Jesus dead, and he left alive. He came to Jesus dead, but he left Jesus alive. He put his faith in him, and Jesus gave him hope. A hope that healed. So what about you today? Will you come to Jesus? What will you bring to Him? Will you bring your situation? Will you bring your condition, your cares, your concerns, your pain, the things that are troubling you? Will you bring them to Jesus? And will you come in faith with hope that He is willing, and He will not turn away from you? And how will you leave Jesus? Will you leave clean on the inside, fully alive, full of hope? Because Jesus is not only our healer, He is our living hope. Stu's going to put on a song. And as he does so, I want you to know that the same Jesus who didn't turn away a leper is here today for you. And no matter what you need to bring to Him, He won't turn away from you either. The same Jesus that reached out and He touched the man and He said, "I am willing." It's the same Jesus who is here right now for you. And He will reach out and He will touch you. And you will hear Him say to you, "I'm willing. I love you. I care about you. I am your hope." Stu, will you put this song on? My invitation is open to you. If you need to come to a Jesus like that, to bring your pain and your difficulty and leave set free, come now. He's here for you. Stu? The altars are open. Whatever your need, Jesus is here for you. Will you come? Will you step out and come before Him? Let Him touch you. Get a hold of that Jesus. He's here for you. Thank you, Lord.
More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I know. To my own life, I need. much more than anything.
Oh, I just trust and I pray that you're encouraged today. Encouraged in the Lord. That you live in that faith and that hope that only Jesus can give. Thank you, Lord. The altars remain open. If you would like to pray, you feel free to do so as long as you like. If you need to go, please do so quietly. Consider yourself dismissed. But this is a great song to end with. No matter what's going on, trouble or storm, our hope is in the Lord. Hallelujah.